less bad.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. That about sums up one report on home sales today. We'll get to that after we check some other numbers. Where's Wall Street? Up right now, the S&P up about 0.2%. The NASDAQ up 0.4%, almost 0.5%. The Dow up slightly as well. Right now, Asian markets closed mixed today. European shares are flat at the moment. Today's Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller Index shows home prices dropped by 18% in April over last year in 20 major cities across the country. Julie Niemann is an analyst with Smith Moore & Company. She joins us live from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So this is being touted as good news because April's the third month in a row that we didn't see a record decline, yet we hear that home prices for these major markets are at levels that we haven't seen since 2003. How is that good news to the guy who's selling his house for less than he owes on it?
Well, actually, this is the whole theme. The panic is gone, mental depression is setting in, and now we're vigorously grasping at straws, I mean green shoots, for any signs that the economy is recovering. And that's with home prices. So they're still dropping, but it's only 18%. But you also have to keep in mind, this is the season when people move, and that's artificially boosting those numbers because school is out. So this is absolutely no turn in the market yet. It's just grasping and looking for any kind of good news out there.
All right, quickly, Julie, we're set to get consumer confidence numbers. How much of this we're expecting better news. How much is happy talk and how much is happy news?
It's still continuing on with the happy talk here. You know, you're looking at auto sales. People are optimistic there. They're no longer plunging. Same song, next verse here. Lots of end-of-quarter window dressing. When the stock market is up, people start getting a lot more confidence. But you have to look behind why it's up. And again, the portfolio manglers are just buying the best performers. So they're basically looking, deluding investors that they were in those names all the way along. But that really helps to keep confidence up. Confidence is very, very passing, but it looks like we're going to have some good confidence numbers here, and that'll give us another good day in this market.
Julie Niemann, thanks. We appreciate it. General Motors heads to bankruptcy court today. The company seeking court approval of its plan to become a leaner automaker owned mostly by the U.S. The latest from Marketplace's Sam Eaton, who joins us live. Good morning, Sam.
Morning, Steve.
So what are we likely to see at the hearing this morning?
Well, GM will ask the bankruptcy judge to approve its restructuring plan. That would basically give it the green light to sell its best assets to a so-called new GM. That, of course, being the GM that the U.S. government has a $50 billion stake in. And the assets we're talking about here are mainly the Chevrolet, GM, and Cadillac brands. Everything else, including Hummer and Saturn, will either be sold off or terminated.
So obviously, Sam, a lot of people with stakes in GM are going to lose money through the bankruptcy. Are their voices being heard?
Well, in theory, yes. GM's plan to exit bankruptcy has drawn some 850 objections. So there are a lot of unhappy people ranging from unions and bondholders to state officials who worry about the economic fallout. The judge will hear some of those voices in the hearing, but Douglas Bernstein, a Michigan bankruptcy lawyer I spoke with, says don't expect too many concessions to come of it.
What Judge Gerber has to do is weigh against the interests of due process, make sure all the interested parties get a fair hearing, against giving the new company the opportunity to be viable and not have to go back into a future reorganization and experience the same troubles that burdened General Motors to begin with.
So that hearing coming up today. Sam Eaton, thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thanks,
Steve. Appreciate
it.
All right.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter. People are talking about business and the economy at Gather.com.
The movie Transformers just keeps on making money. The mega hits raked in more than $200 million since its release. And all told, it's a big hit for one Hollywood studio. It's got a few problems, too. Michael Spire is news editor for TheWrap.com, and he joins us now. Michael, this is the summer movie season. We're supposed to be talking about how rosy the picture is for studios, but that's not necessarily the case.
Right, and especially for the studio that made Transformers, which is Paramount. Paramount specifically is a very, very unique studio because they might have two of the three biggest movies of the summer in Transformers and Star Trek, yet they're having major problems.
So, I mean, they have these huge franchises, right? Star Trek and Transformers. I mean, what's the problem?
Well, the biggest problem could be summed up in one movie star's name, and that's Eddie Murphy, because he was in a movie also this summer for Paramount called Imagine That, which was such a huge disaster. I think it opened with only $5 million. Now, People might say, well, they still have major, major franchises and making tons of money. That's true on some of their movies, but they put a lot of stock in summer. And there's five Paramount summer movies. Two of them are huge, which we just mentioned. The other three, Imagine That, Dance Flick, and the upcoming Buzz Killer, G.I. Joe, might not be so huge, and that's going to bring the profits down.
But I thought in these days of economic recession, this was an escape outlet, that Hollywood was sort of recession-proof, that people want to get out and not think about how much money they don't have and spend, you know, $10-$12 and go see a movie.
That's absolutely true. And the box office is up. The whole year's box office is up. It's the one industry that people are looking to saying, look, it's doing well. So when a movie clicks, it's wonderful. The problem is not every movie clicks. And if it's expensive and it doesn't click, it can wipe out an entire studio. It can certainly wipe out a lot of jobs, which recently happened to Paramount because the head of Paramount, John Lesher, got replaced, and the head of production, Brad Weston, got replaced.
So what does a movie studio do then besides replacing these high-level guys? Do they scale back? Do they not spend as much money on movies?
Well, that's a very interesting quandary that they're in, and it's something that they've been looking towards. I mean, Disney last year decided to cut the amount of movies that they were going to make. They were going to specifically stick with things that are almost slam dunks. Of course, they can't predict what's going to hit and miss, but if they make fewer movies but make them bigger movies, there's almost a guarantee that they can have at least management over how they do.
So what do we know that's coming down the pike from Paramount?
Well, Paramount is lucky enough to have two huge directors coming down the pike. Martin Scorsese with Shutter Island, which stars Leonardo DiCaprio, sounds wonderful. And Peter Jackson, who hasn't been heard from in a while, and he has The Lovely Bones, which is based on a best-selling book. So it sounds great. The problem is if one of them misses, they don't have anything else in the hopper until 2010.
All right. News editor Michael Spire for TheWrap.com. Michael, thanks.
Pleasure.
What's your favorite flick? How much have you spent at the movies this year? Tell us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.